when we look at Isaiah chapter 15 through 20, we see that there is God's judgment upon the nations. And I actually want to, if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 13 and 14, we were not able to look at those chapters last Sunday because of the weather. I'd like to make a few comments before we go on to chapter 15 through 20 this evening. When you look at this section of the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 13 through 23, look right down here on the left-hand side of the chart, this is God's judgment against other nations. And so in chapter 13 and 14, we have God's judgment against Babylon. And then in tonight's lesson, we have other nations. So when we were looking at the first 12 chapters, we were looking at judgment against Israel, sinful things that God's people have done. But now, in chapters 13 through 23, it's other nations. And so the point is that it doesn't matter who you are. If you've sinned against God, you're going to be judged, whether it's God's people or not. It doesn't matter who you are. God's not a respecter of persons. And so in 13 through 23, we have several nations other than God's people who are being judged. And when you look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 13 through 23, these are the other nations that are listed. And this is not the only book in the Old Testament that does this. Jeremiah does it. For example, in Jeremiah, chapter 46 through 51, other nations are mentioned. Ezekiel, chapter 25 through 32, other nations are mentioned. And so Isaiah is not the only one that does this. It doesn't matter who you are. God is going to judge all of the nations. And even at the end of time, all nations will be gathered before God. So in chapter 13, Babylon is judged. And a little bit, look at the end of chapter 14 for just a little bit. There's just a small mention of Philistia. And then in tonight's lesson, we're going to look at Moab, Damascus, which it's not a nation, it's a city, but it's the capital city of Syria, Ethiopia, and Egypt. That's tonight's lesson. And then Sunday morning, Lord willing, it'll be Duma, which is also Edom, Arabia, Judah is mentioned again, and Tyre. So these are other nations that are being judged. They've done sinful things. And when you read these chapters, find the verses that mention the sins that they've committed. It's not that God is bored and He just needs to judge some nation. They've committed sins. Now, in some nations, it's not specifically mentioned. Like Philistia, we're not told what they did. In tonight's lesson, what was it? What was the sin of Moab? That's one of our questions for tonight. What was the sin of Moab?
Pride.
Chapter 16, verse 16, pride, haughtiness, arrogancy, they're wrathful. So in the same in the case of Babylon, okay, they are proud. Turn with me to Isaiah 13 and 14. Let me just summarize this since we were not able to study this Sunday morning. Chapter 13, verse 1, the burden. The word burden, depending on your version, it can say oracle, burden. It's just a prophecy of judgment against these different nations. And so in chapter 13 and 14, we're looking at Babylon. So God is going to, look at verse 17, God is going to bring the Medes, the Medo-Persian Empire, to conquer Babylon. And this is going to be after what we call the Babylonian captivity. Okay? Look at verse, chapter 13, verse 21. They're going to be, 20 and 21, they're not going to be inhabited again. It's going to be like a waste place. Okay? What is their sin? Look at chapter 14, verse 13. Talking about the king of Babylon. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. So pride is his problem. And so chapter 13 and 14 deal primarily with the fall of Babylon. Look at the end of chapter 14. In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not, O Philistia. So the coastal region in southern Palestine of Philistia. We're not told their sin, but they're going to be judged as well. One other thing on chapter 14 and verse 12. This is a popular topic with some. And it was a question that we had. It was the digging deeper number 3. who is Lucifer? The King James uses the term Lucifer. Other versions use the term day star. This is not the devil, okay? And I've had lessons on this before. If you look at chapter 14, beginning in verse 4, take up this parable against the king of Babylon. This whole thing from verse 4 all the way down through verse 20, 4 through 20, it all deals with the king of Babylon. Lucifer, verse 12, is not the devil. It's another term for the king of Babylon. Notice in chapter 14 and verse 16, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? It's all the king of Babylon. Now, how did it get started? We don't know. Nobody really knows, but somebody probably took, look at verse 12, how thou art fallen from heaven, fallen from heaven. And then somebody years ago took that phrase and tied it in with Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 where Jesus said, I saw Satan fallen as lightning. And they put the two together and, well, then Lucifer is the devil. That's not the case. That's just completely two different contexts. But look at verse 12. In the King James, the English word Lucifer is an English word, so they use this word in 1611. Now, Lucifer was not used in some of the earlier English versions like Tyndale and other. That wasn't even there. But for some reason, the King James translators used the word Lucifer, and the word loose means light. And fur, F-E-R, to ferry, to bear, to carry something, it's a light bearer, a light carrier. That's all that word means. And so in verse 12, the other translations have day star. It's just someone who's like a bright and shining light. That person is going to be cut down to the ground. And so it is not the devil. This whole thing in chapter 13 and 14 up to verse 27 or so is Babylon. Okay. So what we're looking at tonight is God's judgment upon the nations. Look up here at the top of the chart. Look at 13:11, just to get the idea. It's not just God's people. 13:11, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked of their iniquity. It's the world. It's not just God's people. Look at chapter 14 and verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. God's hand is stretched out upon all the nations, 14:26. You see, it's not just God's people. And then turn with me to chapter 24 and verse 1. When we finally get down to the end of this section called the judgment against the nations, chapter 24 acts like a summary of all of that. And look at the very first verse. Behold, Jehovah maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. It's not just God's people, but all the nations will come under His judgment. Now let's look at a map here. These are the ones listed from Isaiah 13 down through 23. There are 10 of them. And Babylon is mentioned twice. Babylon is mentioned in chapter 13 and 14, and then again we're going to see it mentioned in chapter 21. Now, here's the situation. If you think about the Assyrian Empire, which is up in this area, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria at the time of Isaiah. Assyria is up in this area, and Assyria has already come down into Palestine. We studied that when we were looking at Isaiah chapter 7 and 8. So if Assyria comes down into Palestine to take away the northern kingdom, and then they come all the way down in the days of Hezekiah to Jerusalem. Look how they pass through Syria. They pass through Tyre. Okay? There's other nations affected. And then later, during the Babylonian captivity, when Babylon comes down, they don't cross the desert. Assyria came down from the north. Babylon comes up here and then comes, they always come right through here. Well, other people are affected. Other nations are affected. Assyria doesn't just come down and say, we just want to talk with the Jews. Other nations that they pass through, they subjugate them all the way down to Egypt. And the same thing with Babylon. They don't just come to Jerusalem. Any other nation that's around about, they're going to subjugate that too. So God is using one nation to punish other nations. And so we have Damascus or Syria. We have Tyre. Right here, of course, is Judah. Down here would be Philistia. Over here would be Egypt and Ethiopia. This would be Duma or Edom in Arabia down in this area. So the point is that when these nations come in, that they conquer other peoples along the way. It's not just God's people. And then Babylon itself right here, the capital of Babylon right in this area, they're going to be judged. And Isaiah says the Medes will do that. And they're in this area over here behind this chart. Media and Persia is over in here, and they're going to come in and conquer God's people. So we're looking at divine judgment on the nations. Moab is judged for her pride. Nothing is mentioned about Damascus or Ethiopia in particular. Egypt, they're described as having a spirit of perverseness. But these nations sin, and God is going to punish them. So let's look then at tonight's lesson. Let's answer some questions. We'll try to get through as many of these as we can. Sherry, we'll start with you. Number one, what nation does Isaiah speak judgment against? Moab. So Babylon in chapter 13 and 14, Philistia at the end of chapter 14, and then Moab. Mason, what do the people of Moab do after their land is laid waste and brought to naught?
They cry.
Okay, there's weeping going on. There's weeping in sackcloth. This is God's judgment on Moab. And we find that they're going to be punished just like the other nations. Okay, Mandy number three, what happens to the land and possessions of Moab? Right. The land is left desolate. It's withered up. And so the people are going to be affected. The land is going to be affected. And number four, Pat, why is there crying and wailing in Moab?
Their rivers are full of blood and a lion is
blood. Right. There's bloodshed. So people are going to die. People are going to be judged. And the land is affected. The people are affected. What is Moab counseled to do? Matthew chapter 16. Verses 1 through 4. Okay. This might seem a little strange, but look at verse 1. They're told to actually send a gift to Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. Send ye the lambs for the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Send a lamb unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. That's Jerusalem. So this might seem a little strange, but they're called upon to turn to God's people. Go to Jerusalem for refuge. Moab, remember in the book of Numbers, that they didn't want Balak didn't want them coming through their land, and they've always been antagonistic toward Israelites. But they're told to come and let Jerusalem be a refuge. Verse 4, let mine outcast dwell with thee. As for Moab, be thou a covert to him. The person who's the covert and the protector is Jerusalem. And Moab is described as coming to them for help and for security. They can't do anything themselves. They are, verse 2, they're like wandering birds, and they're scattered and they're running. Well, run to Jerusalem for help. And one day, verse 5, there will be someone sitting on the throne there. It's a messianic prophecy. Someone will sit on the throne there. But they're counseled really to come to God's people for help. Okay? Larry, number 6. What is established in the tent of Judah? Okay, there's going to be one who is going to sit on the throne in truth in the tent of Judah. And of course, this is ultimately applied to Jesus Christ, who sits on David's throne. And it's just one of those, it may seem a little strange or out of place, but different places in the book of Isaiah, there are promises of hope. There are promises of a coming Messiah, of a good ruler, and those types of things. And sometimes they're buried maybe in odd places, and this might seem a little strange for us, but here's a bright picture of a better time in the future there in Jerusalem. Okay? Claudette, if you'll take the next one, number 7. What is Moab's sin and what happens to this nation? Right. Their sin is pride, and they're going to weep and wail over all of the things that have been destroyed. What does Isaiah do, Janice, because of this coming judgment? Right. Look at chapter 15 and verse 5. My heart crieth out for Moab. That's Isaiah speaking. When we go through Isaiah, look for those little things where it's actually Isaiah as a person. Something he's saying, something he's doing, something that he's feeling. And with regard to this coming judgment, he's not uncaring and unconcerned and, good luck with that. He actually weeps over Moab, who is going to be judged. And that's a great attitude on his part. We should all, and that was one of our applications. We all need to be bothered by the divine judgment of mankind. We don't need to get so uncaring that it's just, a big deal. It really bothered him, and he wept and cried over that situation. Okay? Mike, number 9. What do the people of Moab attempt to do in the high place but without success? Right. So they're going to go to their high place. They're going to go to their idols, and they're going to try to get help, and they're going to pray when this invading army comes in, but it's not going to prevail. It's not going to do them any good. They're going to be conquered. So worshiping in the high place, their idols, it's going to be without success. And Joyce, how long does it take for the coming judgment to reach Moab, and who among them will remain? Exactly. Okay? So it's not that far off. God first uses Assyria to come down in and conquer some of these nations. Then later, he'll use Babylon, and then Babylon itself will be conquered by the Medes and the Persians. Okay? So, God's divine judgment on all nations, not just his people. Now, let's look at the next one. Damascus is a city. It's not a nation, it's the capital city of Syria. So look at verse 3, the remnant of Syria. So the next nation is Syria. What city does Isaiah speak judgment against, Sherry? Damascus. And this is the capital of Syria. In some of these, there's no specific sin mentioned. In some, there are. Mason, number 13, how is the fading glory of Jacob described? Okay, number 12, I'm sorry. What happens to Damascus and its surrounding cities? Okay. So like these other nations, they're going to be left desolate. They're going to be destroyed. Now, here's a little section where Isaiah comes back. God wants to say something about Judah. So we switch gears here just a little bit from verses 4 down through verse 11 or so. We're talking about God's people in Judah. How is the fading glory of Jacob described? Mandy?
The fading glory of Jacob is
Yeah, they're wasting away. And why is that? What are they doing? What is the problem? We'll look at this in just a minute. Pat number 14, what do some men do at this time? Number 14.
They will look to their Maker, the Holy One of Israel.
Okay, let's read chapter 17, verse 7. In that day shall men look unto their Maker, because before that, many of them were not. They had forsaken God. Come down to verse 9. In that day shall their strong cities be as the forsaken places in the wood, which were forsaken from before the children of Israel, and it shall be a desolation. For thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and has not been mindful of the rock of strength. Matthew, number 15, why are the children of Israel forsaken and desolate at this time? Right. So in the midst here of talking about other nations and their sins, there's a brief reminder here about God's people themselves. They have forsaken God and they have not been mindful of Him. And so there will come a day later, verse 7, when people will start looking back to God. Many of them had not done that. And that's one of their main problems, one of their main sins. Okay? So there's just in the midst of all of these nations, there's a reminder of the problem of God's people as well. Okay, Larry number 16, what do the nations do and what does the Lord do to them? Right. You know, the nations, they carry on their affairs. They do what they do. You know, they vie for politics, they vie for land, they try to conquer other people, they've got their civil things, their political things, their economic things. They're pictured as going around, rushing around, but God is up in heaven controlling all of this, and when they're not living right, they're going to be judged, they're going to be rebuked by Him. Okay? And I think about today, all the stuff going on. We got all of our stuff going on in America, and every country's got their stuff going on, and elections and this and that. But God's up in heaven, you know, looking at it from a bigger perspective. He's holding all of us in account. He's going to rebuke those who aren't living right. We're down here rushing around, you know, living our life and doing our thing, and every nation's doing their thing, but God has a bigger picture and a bigger plan. They rush like the rushing of many waters, but He shall rebuke them and they shall flee far off. And so we just need to remember that. Okay? Claudette, number 17. What nation does Isaiah speak judgment against and how is it described? We're up to chapter 18 now. Right. And that might be a reference to, you know, bugs flying around in a very tropical environment of Egypt and Ethiopia. A lot of water. They're riding around in papyrus vessels and so forth. So we're talking about North Africa, okay, in that area. And again, no specific sin is mentioned, but they are going to be a part of God's judgment as well. Number 18, what nation, how is the nation described that comes against Ethiopia? Janice?
First, it's described as calm and smooth, and it's powerful and trained
down. Right. And this is going to be Assyria. And when they come into Palestine, they subjugate Egypt and Ethiopia. They have to pay tribute to the king of Assyria. They have to pay tax, as it were. And so other nations are affected other than God's people. And number 19, Mike, what does the Lord do to the nation that is terrible?
They'll be left for the birds and the beasts and these animals.
Right. If this is Assyria, then what is being said here is that, yes, Assyria is this tall, lean, terrible nation, and it's going to come down here and conquer Ethiopia and other nations, but Assyria itself God will cut down, as it were. And we already studied that, didn't we? Back in chapter 10, we already read about how that Assyria is going to be judged by God just like everybody else. Chapter 10 and verse 24. So even though they're this mighty nation, they're going to be brought down too. And they're brought down by Babylon, and then Babylon is brought down by the Medes and the Persians. Okay? What nation does Isaiah speak judgment against in chapter 19 and verse 1? Joyce? Egypt. So now we're down to Egypt. And they're going to be held under God's judgment as well. What happens to the people of Egypt? Sherry, verses 2 through 4.
They're all set against each other, brothers and neighbors. Their spirit will fail and pierce king will
rule. Right, there's civil war. There's going to be civil war. They're attacking each other. They're going to have a cruel king over them. So it's going to be a time of upheaval. And that's also going to be a part of God's judgment upon them. And then there's some things. What happens to the land, Mason?
The waters will fail from the sea and the river will be wasted. And the reeds will wither.
Right. So there's going to be a problem with the land, just like in you know, these other chapters that we've been reading where the people have problems in chapter 15, verse 7, you know, the grass dries up and withers away. So there's going to be problems in farming, economics, and just physical land problems. When a big old Assyrian army marches through, they'll foul the water. They'll run right through crops. They'll do all kinds of things. And so you've got that going on too with invading. They'll burn things. They will rape and pillage. You know, all kinds of problems. We didn't have a chance to look at this, but look at chapter 13 with me. When Babylon finally falls, this is going to be, because of the Medes and the Persians come through. Isaiah 13, verse 16. Their infants also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be rifled and their wives ravished. So it's the spoils of war. And this happens. You don't hear it happening a lot today, but it was happening in World War II. When the Germans would go through a nation, they would rape women. The Russians did that. When Russia came into Berlin, they were doing that kind of thing. So you burn things, rape and pillage, and cause all kinds of trouble. These are the kinds of things that are going on here. Okay, so now we're down to Egypt. Mandy, let's see, number 24. How are the princes of Zoan and Memphis? That's not Memphis, Tennessee. That's Memphis, Egypt. The other name is Noph. How are these princes described? Right, they think that they're very wise people. These are the wise Egyptian rulers and scholars and educated people, but they're actually foolish and they're leading people astray. They're leading people by their own human wisdom, and it's actually leading them astray like a drunken man staggering in his vomit. And this is one of the main problems with Egypt. They're being judged for their human wisdom that takes people away from God. They were big into idolatry, all kinds of gods. We know about the pharaohs and all kinds of statues and tombs built to all kinds of different gods. And so that's one of their main problems. In verse 14, a spirit of perverseness is in the midst of her. It's human wisdom that leads people away from God. Okay, so that's why they're being judged. Okay, Matthew, Pat, number 25, just take the first one. Now, look at verses 16 all the way down through verse 25. there are some things that are going to happen to Egypt. And look at the phrase, in that day. It shows up several times, verse 16, 18, 19, 23, 24, in that day. When Egypt is judged and brought down, starting then and following, there's going to be some things that are going to happen, okay? What is going to happen? First of all, what's going to happen with regard to their fear? Pat?
They will tremble like women.
They're going to tremble, they're going to fear, and there's going to be fear among them because of the purpose of Jehovah. They're going to realize that this is God's doing. And fear because of the shaking of the hand of Jehovah. So they're going to fear and shake and realize that God's judgment is upon them. Number two, what's going to happen with regard to their language? Matthew? Right, but what's the next part? And swear to Jehovah. They're going to start, some of them are going to start believing in God and turning to God. And that's what we're going to see with the next one. They're going to start talking about God and serving God and worshiping God. And of course, this actually literally happens. Who does Philip convert? The Ethiopian eunuch, right? So ultimately, in the days of the church, there's going to be people down in Egypt and Ethiopia who turn to God. And some of the people on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, were from this area. Okay? So you'll actually have people starting to turn to God in that day. And then we definitely see it in the book of Acts there with the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, what's going to happen with regard to their worship, Larry? Okay, they're going to start worshiping the one true God. And this is just amazing. It's an interesting section of scripture here. You think, well, they're dead and gone and that's the end of that nation. But what arises out of this are people who actually turn to God. Okay? What's going to happen with regard to their enemies, Claudette? Right, they were once at odds. Assyria came down and said, look, you obey us. And Egypt was a very mighty nation, but they had to obey Assyria. They were enemies. They were at odds. But there's going to come a time later where the Egyptians shall worship with the Assyrians. And so things are going to change in the future. And then what about their world dominance? Janice? Right, they're going to share their world dominance with others, with Assyria and with Egypt. And so this coming judgment is going to humble them and bring some of them to God. This obviously is not 100% nationwide. They continue to be wicked and idolatrous, but many will change and come to God. And so that's one result of God's coming judgment. It has a tendency to humble people and turn people to God. And that's a good lesson. Okay? Now, when is all of this going to take place? Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20 is really short, but what it is, it's just the concluding thought to chapters 18 and 19. 18 is Ethiopia. 19 is Egypt. Now we have a little concluding thought with regard to both Ethiopia and Egypt. So look, that's what chapter 20 is about. When does the Lord speak to Isaiah? Mike?
The year that Tarshish came to
Ashdod. Right. Look up here. You might want to make a note. I've tried to jot down some key dates in Isaiah's ministry where it said that such and such happened in such and such year. You might want to jot this down. And you might, if you make notes in your Bible, you could do that as well. And notice something here. As you go through the book, as the chapters increase, the dates decrease. And so what that tells us is that Isaiah is primarily, his material is primarily in chronological order. Okay? As you go through the book, it's following a chronology. Do you remember Larry was talking about in the book of Matthew that Matthew doesn't necessarily follow chronological order. He groups things together by subject or topic. Okay? Isaiah is roughly in chronological order, okay? So as you go through the book, you're getting lower in dates. You know, you're passing through history. So chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that Uzziah died, that's 740. In the days of Ahaz, Syria and Israel came against Ahaz, that's 732. In the year that Ahaz died, that's 716. Do you remember that back in chapter 14 with regard to the prophecy of Philistia? In the year that King Ahaz died. Well, that was a prophecy concerning Philistia, but that would be roughly around the end of his reign when he died, 716 B.C. Now, here's tonight's date. In the year that Tartan, and Tartan is not a name. It's the margin of your Bible might say something like commander or chief. It's like later in the book, Rabshakeh. That's not his name. That's his position. He's a commander. He's a captain. So Tartan is this leading commander in the Assyrian army. The king is Sargon, Sargon II, and they come against Ashdod. Well, that's the point. When they come down into Palestine, they will often come to other nations. And so it's in the year that Tartan came to Ashdod. Well, now we're down to 711 B.C. This is one of those times when Assyria came down into Palestine, but not all the way to Jerusalem. They would come down and then go back. So now we're down to 711. And what happens in this year? Well, the Lord speaks to Isaiah, and what does he tell him to do? Joyce, what is Isaiah told to do and for how long? Number 27. Okay, to walk naked and barefoot for 3 years, and this is symbolic of Assyria carting off Ethiopia and Egypt naked and barefoot. So it's Isaiah, and we talked about this in a sermon, where Isaiah was a sacrificial servant. To be told to do this for 3 years, that's a big sacrifice on his part. But he's going to do what God tells him to do. And we also made the point that naked is probably not completely nude, but without the outer garments. He would have had a loincloth on or something like that. But it shows that he is uncovered and walking around like this, and that's what's going to happen with regard to Assyria. So number 28, what does the king of Assyria do to the captives of Egypt and Ethiopia, Sherry? Takes them away naked and barefoot, uncovered to the shame of Egypt. And so Assyria is going to be the nation that comes down and conquers chapter 18, Ethiopia, chapter 19, Egypt. Okay? And Mason, number 29, how are the people described who put their trust in Ethiopia and Egypt? Right. Look at verse 5. They shall be dismayed. Who are these they people? They, people who trusted in Ethiopia and Egypt, did trade with them, lived near them, did things with them. When they see that these two nations are gone, they're like, whoa, what is going on here? You see? How shall we escape? So they're dismayed, they're confounded, their expectation of these great nations is brought down and that type of thing. Okay? Any question or comment about God's judgment on the nations? We had to move through quite rapidly to get through that, but did anybody have any comment or question or observation over anything? And it's good to, you know, locate these things on a map if you can. So, tonight, Moab down here, eastern side of the Dead Sea, okay, and Damascus in Syria up here, chapter 17, okay, Moab chapter 15 and 16, Syria chapter 17, okay, Ethiopia and Egypt chapter 18 and 19, okay, and then Lord willing, Sunday, if we look at that lesson, Then we're going to be looking at Duma, which is another name for Seir or Edom, which is down in this area. Arabia, okay, down in this area. And then Judah is going to be mentioned in chapter 20. What is it? Let's see. Chapter 22, I guess. And then Tyre in chapter 23. So that'll be our next lesson coming up. So God's judgment on the nation. With regard to just some applications for today, I would say one of the main ones, let's look at that. Men need to look to their Maker. We don't need to forget God, number four. That's one of the biggest problems with God's people. Don't forget God. Don't forget to serve God on a daily basis. Another one is pride. We see this with Babylon. We see it with Moab. We're going to see it again with Tyre. Just proud. Pride goes before a fall. And people who are proud, God knocks them down. Okay. Another interesting application is number seven. These are the people in Egypt. Ungodly and idolatrous people can change. That's why we don't need to give up on people. You got all these people in Egypt turning to the Lord and worshiping the Lord. We would think, oh, no, they're not going to do that. But some did. And so that's why we need to keep teaching and preaching to people today. And number eight, we need to be sacrificial like Isaiah. He was told to walk around naked and barefoot for 3 years, and he did it. And whatever, and of course, the Lord's not going to ask us to do that today in the church, but he asks us to do a lot of things, and we need to be busy in the Lord's work and be sacrificial and doing what the Lord wants. Okay? Any question or comment? And, you know, because of the weather, we missed chapter 13 and 14, but you can easily work that into your understanding of this section. It begins with God's judgment on the fall of Babylon. And the main thing is he's going to use the Medes and the Persians to do that. And we'll talk more about Babylon. Turn with me to chapter 21 in our next lesson, Lord willing, on Sunday. When we get to 21, we can actually go back and talk about chapter 13 and 14 more, because look at chapter 21, verse 9. Fallen, fallen is Babylon. There's a little section there in chapter 21 that deals with Babylon again. So we can come back and pick up some more things about Babylon when we get over to chapter 21. Thank you for your time and attention this evening.